Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. It's about 7 past the hour. Man, we really, really, really are in Never Neverland, aren't we? The land of the Red Queen. No offense to anybody who might really be a Red Queen, but it's just too bizarre. Too bizarre. Another one bites the dust in the Bush crime family. Chuckle Nuts has lost three crucial Bush crime family consigliers in the last 2 weeks. Rove, Tony Snow, and now his little Tejano, Torquemada Gonzalez. Eh? And if any more of Cheney's body parts defect, and the Tin Man has to step down, then Raisin Brain's going to spend the remainder of his illegal presidency in a padded room. I like the part today when he got off the helicopter and walked up to the microphones, Bush, and talked about what a good man his Tejano was and how he was sunk by terrible, bad, nasty, ugly, hateful politics in D.C. So, Gonzo is headed back to Munchkin Land following Bush's brain and Dorothy and Toto. Who would have thought Condi and Cheney would have won Survivor, the Bush crime family? But there they are, Truth Seekers. There they are, the only two still standing. We have a montage of Gonzo's last appearance before the Senate Judiciary Committee a few weeks ago, which may at least partially explain his sudden departure. And I like the bit about he resigned. Uh-huh. Yes, he did. That's like, I resigned from Air America. Mr. Rourke was looking for him and he couldn't hide anymore. Fantasy Island, indeed. The plane! The plane! Look, there is the plane! But before we get too deep into the little piglet Gonzalo story, how about Senator Larry Craig? Jeez. These guys just never stop, do they? Let's see, Larry Craig, whatever the hell his name is. Was there anything anti-gay that he didn't get involved in? I mean, he went out of his way, Defense of Marriage Act and Strength of Marriage Act, and let's not put gay folks into a hate crimes category if they get the living Christ beaten out of them because they're gay. Well, it's, you know, too bad. Lord. So he was arrested in June at a Minnesota airport by a plainclothes police officer investigating lewd conduct complaints in the men's room. What is it about airports? I guess because it's so transient. We just had a big deal down here in Atlanta, didn't we, Gabby? Who got busted down here? Preachers? Ministers? Rabbis? I don't know. I forget. Excuse me. But there's something about airport restrooms, I guess. And what was fascinating to me about the story is there's a whole code of taps and signals and movements and peeking through the crack in the door and where you put your foot when you get in the stall next to the guy and yada yada and reach this way and twist your hand that way and jump up, jump down, stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. Anyway, he was busted in June. He went back in August and pled guilty 2 months later. Now keep that in mind because later on here he says, well, I wish I would have had the advice of a attorney. What the hell were you doing for 2 months, you freak? He pled guilty to misdemeanor disorderly conduct in the Hennepin County District Court. He paid $500 in fines and fees. 10-day jail sentence was stayed. Year probation that began on August 8th. And this was dumped into the public consciousness today, you'll pardon the expression, by Roll Call Magazine. After he was arrested, Senator Larry Craig, Republican of Idaho, who's married and has kids and grandkids, was taken to the Airport Police Operations Center to be interviewed about the lewd conduct incident. This is according to the police report. At one point during the interview, Senator Craig handed the plainclothes sergeant who arrested him a business card that identified him as U.S. Senator and said, "What do you think about that?" Apparently the cop didn't think too much about it. According to the incident report, the cop, Sergeant Dave Karznia, was working as a plainclothes officer on June 11th, investigating civilian complaints regarding sexual activity in the men's public restroom in which Craig was arrested. Airport police previously had made numerous arrests in the men's room of the North Star Crossing in the Lindbergh Terminal in connection with sexual activity. Karznia, the sergeant, entered the bathroom at noon that day, and about 13 minutes after taking a seat in a stall, he stated he could see, quote, an older white male with gray hair standing outside my stall, end quote. The man, who lingered in front of the stall for 2 minutes, was later identified as Senator Craig. The report states, quote, "I could see Craig look through the crack in the door from his position. Craig would look down at his hands, fidget with his fingers, and then look through the crack into my stall again. Craig repeated the cycle for about 2 minutes. Craig then entered the stall next to Sergeant Karsnias and placed his roller bag against the front of the stall door. Karsnias stated in his report, quote, "My experience has shown that individuals engaging in lewd conduct use their bags to block the view from the front of their stall. From my seated position, I could observe the shoes and ankles of Craig seated to the left of me. Craig was wearing dress pants with black dress shoes. At 12:16 hours, Craig," the report states the following, quote, "at 12:16 hours, Craig tapped his right foot. I recognize this as a signal used by persons wishing to engage in lewd conduct. Craig tapped his toe several times and moved his foot closer to my foot. I moved my foot up and down slowly. While this was occurring, the male in the stall to my right was still present. I could hear several unknown persons in the restroom that appeared to use the restroom for its intended use. The presence of others did not seem to deter Craig as he moved his right foot so that it touched the side of my left foot, which was in my stall area." End quote. Craig then proceeded to swipe his hand under the stall divider several times, and Karsnias noted in his report that, quote, "I could see Craig had a gold ring on his ring finger as his hand was on my side of the stall divider." End quote. Karsnias then held his hand down, but in his hand he held his police identification so Craig could see it. "Thanks for showing me your ring. Here, look at this. I'm a cop." Ah, surprise! "With my left hand near the floor, I pointed toward the exit. Craig responded, 'No!' I again pointed toward the exit. Craig exited the stall with his roller bag without flushing the toilet. Craig said he would not go. I told Craig that he was under arrest. He had to go. And that I didn't want to make a scene. Craig then left the restroom." Jesus God. About a year ago, October 2006 to be exact, Craig's office publicly denied allegations that he was homosexual. Made on a gay activist website, blogactive.com, Craig's office told the Spokane Spokesman Review that the charge was completely ridiculous, saying that the allegations had no basis in fact. None. You know, Irving Libby and Lynn Cheney combined couldn't write this kind of tawdry fiction. Senator, an airport bathroom? A stall? No. Why not? Why not the comfort of a motel room or hell, you're a senator on a junket? I mean, how about the Bahamas? How about you know, a nice resort area where you know you don't have the smell of antiseptic floating around. Something. Didn't George Michael get into trouble for that? I don't know what it is. I is there something conducive to sex that you find in public bathrooms? Senator Craig, you've been a naughty, naughty man.
Need some wood?
Anyone past the hour, this just in from a mad, mad world. Former Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, 5 minutes after having submitted his resignation to George W. Bush, was asked by a passerby whether the rumor was true that he had resigned. Gonzalez replied, "I have no memory of having submitted such a letter or of having any conversation with the president about anything at all." The former attorney general immediately returned to his office at the Department of Justice, so he could not remember what he was supposed to do there. Senator Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, stated that, quote, "Mr. Gonzalez's actions and behavior seem awfully suspicious. If he has resigned, why wasn't Congress told? I need to start drafting some more subpoenas immediately or do something else threatening," end quote. President Bush, through a statement issued by former administration bad guy Karl Rove, said that whether Mr. Gonzalez has indeed resigned, it's a matter of executive privilege, and no one, especially Senator Leahy, has any damn right to know whether it really happened. Fox News immediately began labeling anyone who talks about the resignation as a surrender monkey. And on Wall Street today, prices went sideways. So there you have it. Let's listen to Torquemada giving his resignation chat this morning. It was very quick and to the point. I think it took all of a minute, 20 seconds. I like the part about resigning. I mean, if these guys need to save face, that's all right with me, but you know what happened. He certainly did not resign. But anyway, file this one under, "What took you so long to buy a clue?"
Yesterday, I met with President Bush and informed him of my decision to conclude my government service as Attorney General of the United States, effective as of September 17, 2007. Let me say that it has been one of my greatest privileges to lead the Department of Justice. I have great admiration and respect for the men and women who work here. I have made a point as Attorney General to personally meet as many of them as possible. And today I want to again thank them for their service to our nation.
I need string.
It is through their continued work that our country and our communities remain safe.
String.
That the rights and civil liberties of our citizens are protected.
I need string.
And the hopes and dreams of all of our children are secured.
Oh, really?
I often remind our fellow citizens that we live in the greatest country in the world.
Any string?
And that I have lived the American dream.
Yeah.
Even my worst days as Attorney General have been better than my father's best days.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Public service is honorable and noble.
Oh, really?
And I am profoundly grateful to President Bush for his friendship and for the many opportunities he has given me to serve the American people. Thank you, and God bless America.
Now I have to get to the Minneapolis airport very quickly. So goodbye and good luck. Thank you. Really? The hopes and dreams of all of our children are secured? Well, I didn't know that. So then Man or Monkey hops off Helicopter 1 and strides in his very manly way up to the microphone set up for him where the notes are before he gets on Air Force 12 or whatever to go somewhere to do something, and sings the many praises of the man who made torture and illegal wiretapping and all sorts of executions in Texas not only possible, but admirable.
Al Gonzalez is a man of integrity, decency, and principle.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
And I have reluctantly accepted his resignation.
I had to force it.
With great appreciation for the service that he has provided for our country.
Yeah.
As Attorney General and before that as White House counsel, Al Gonzalez has played a critical role in shaping our policies in the war on terror and has worked tirelessly to make this country safer.
Amen.
The Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, and other important laws bear his imprint.
So does Ashcroft's pancreas bear his imprint. So what? That doesn't mean anything. You've reluctantly accepted his resignation with great appreciation for the service he's provided for our country. Hell, we couldn't have committed half the illegal acts we committed without all his help. Jesus, I'm going to miss my little Tejano. And you can file this treacle under Cry Me a River, Mensa Man.
after months of unfair treatment that has created a harmful distraction at the Justice Department.
At the what?
Judge Gonzalez decided to resign his position,
uh-huh.
and I accept his decision.
I had to pull a gun on him, but...
It's sad.
Yeah.
That we live in a time when a talented and honorable person like Alberto Gonzalez is impeding from doing important work.
Yeah.
Because his good name was dragged through the mud. For political reasons.
And he says this without the slightest trace of irony. I'm surprised he didn't say his good name was drugged through the mud. It's sad that we live in a time when a talented and honorable person like Skeletor. No, wait, he's coming up next. A person like Alberto Gonzalez is impeding from doing important working because his good naming was dragging through the mudding for political yum. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. This is real fantasy stuff tonight, Truth Seekers. If you think you have slipped through some time-space wrinkle, you're right.
I'm Mr. Lonely. I have nobody for my own. I'm so lonely. Mr. Lonely, wish I had someone to...
No American will be allowed to torture another human being anywhere in the world.
Well, I had my fingers crossed when I said that. People for the American Way have labeled Gonzalez the enabler general. the enabler general for the Imperial Bush presidency. He undermined the Constitution, made a mockery of the rule of law, turned the Justice Department into an arm of the Bush administration's political operation. He protected the interests of George W. Bush over the interests of the American people at every turn. He oversaw a Justice Department that was twisted to serve political interests, from the president's domestic spying program to bogus allegations of voting fraud that kept minorities and poor people from the ballot box. He showed an open contempt for oversight by Congress and gave testimony under oath that was at best incompetent and at worst deliberately untrue. Bush calls him a victim of nasty politics. Jesus, I hate these people. Michael Ratner, who is the president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, said today, quote, until we get rid of the entire cabal, which includes Bush and Cheney, that is engaged in torture, offshore prisons like Guantanamo, violations of the Geneva Conventions, warrantless wiretapping, there is little to celebrate in Gonzalez's resignation. Guantanamo continues, as does torture, wiretapping, secret CIA sites, rendition, illegal trials, impeachment and prosecution of the authors and facilitators of these violations of fundamental rights is imperative, and our Democratic Congress has fallen down on the job, end quote. Why, of course. Don't expect any Democrats. They're not going to do anything. They just want to get elected. Marjorie Cohn, who's a professor at Thomas Jefferson School of Law and president of the National Lawyers Guild, said today regarding the resignation, quote, Alberto Gonzalez should not only be prosecuted for perjury for the false statements he made to Congress, he should also be tried under the U.S. War Crimes Act for spearheading a common plan by the Bush administration to violate the Geneva Conventions and the Convention Against Torture. And Jonathan Turley, a professor of constitutional law at George Washington University, said today, Gonzalez made a career as the enabler for George W. Bush. When they wanted to strip citizens of all the constitutional rights at the whim of the president, Gonzalez was there to say it was fine. When they wanted to engage in torture, Gonzalez was there with pen in hand. One can only wonder how much better this president would have fared if he had had a lawyer prepared to tell him that he did not have such Caesar-like qualities. But that's not what the Texas Mafia is about. George W. Bush is a cowardly, sick, twisted little drug-addicted megalomaniac. He needs people around him who will whisper in his ear and say, "You're a great man, George, and we can make you greater. You're a great man, George." Sick son of a bitch. All right, let's listen to Gonzalez. Here's a few minutes of Mr. Gonzalez during his last testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee. You will hear Arlen Specter. You will hear Dianne Feinstein. You will hear Patrick Leahy, I believe. You will hear Schumer. And, of course, you will hear this twisted, sick little munchkin, Alberto Gonzalez.
I accept responsibility.
How many names did you approve for firing?
I think on that, the list that was presented.
No, total. How many names have you approved for firing?
You mean total? Cause, not for cause? I'm not aware, sitting here today, of any other U.S. attorney who was asked to leave, except there were some instances where people were asked to leave, quite frankly, because there was legitimate cause.
Something's rotten in Denmark. You're saying these were asked to leave because the cause was not legitimate?
What I'm saying is wrongdoing, misconduct. There may have been some. In fact, I'm sure there were others.
What kind of misconduct?
Well, and I'm not suggesting any of this conduct happened, but for example, an inappropriate relationship, taking action that is where you have a direct conflict of interest to help out a buddy, something like that would constitute misconduct.
Were those specific things involved in any U.S. attorney that was terminated?
No.
Who sent you to the hospital?
Senator, what I can say is we'd had a very important meeting at the White House over one of the most...
I'm answering
your question, Senator.
Who sent you?
If I could. I'll just say that the Chief of Staff to the President of the United States and the Counsel of the President of the United States went to the hospital on behalf of the President of the United States.
Did the President ask you to go?
We were there on behalf of the President of the United States.
I didn't ask you that. Did the President ask you to go?
Senator, we're there on behalf of the President of the United States.
Why can't you answer that question?
That's the answer that I can give you, Senator.
Well, can you explain to me why you can't answer it directly?
Senator, again, we were there on an important program for this President. On behalf of the President of the United States.
If you don't remember...
Wait a minute.
I'm not finished asking you the question. If you don't know or you don't remember what happened when you stood on a decision to have a man executed, that's what you're saying.
I have no specific recollection as to this particular case.
Please help us understand how you didn't mislead the committee.
I think you've misunderstood my response.
The very program that you said there was no dissent to. How can you say you haven't... deceive the committee?
Well, I stand by what I said to the committee. What I, in fact, here in the press conference, I did misspeak, but I also went back and clarified it with the reporter.
You did misspeak?
Yes. I can understand the confusion or concern about my prior statements, but I went back and clarified it with the reporter.
When was that? And what was the reporter's name?
At the Washington Post. Dan Egan was a reporter. I clarified my statement 2 days later with the reporter.
What did you say to the reporter?
I did not speak directly to the reporter.
Oh, wait a second. You did not. Okay. What did your spokesperson say to the reporter?
I don't know, but I told the spokesperson to go back and clarify my statement.
What did that spokesperson say? Tell me now. How do you clarify this?
I don't know, but I'll find
how
out.
How do you
get
clarify?
Back to you.
I've never heard anything quite like this.
How can you get approval from Ashcroft for anything when he's under sedation and incapacitated?
There are no rules governing whether or not General Ashcroft can decide. I'm feeling well enough to make this decision.
But Attorney General Gonzalez, he had already given up his authority as Attorney General.
And
Ashcroft was no longer Attorney General.
And he could always reclaim that. There are no rules
while
about...
While he's in the hospital under sedation?
Again, we didn't know... We knew, of course, that he was ill, but we never had any intent to ask anything of him if we did not feel that he was competent. When we got there... I will just say that Mr. Ashcroft did most of the talking. We were there maybe 5 minutes. It was not about the terrorist surveillance program that the President announced to the American people. Now, I would like
Attorney
the opportunity.
General, do you expect us to believe that?
I would like to bring to your attention a May 4th, 2006 memorandum. And this one is signed by you. What on earth business does the Office of the Vice President have in the internal workings of the Department of Justice with respect to criminal investigations, civil investigations, and ongoing matters?
As a gentleman, I would say that's a good question.
You're supposed to answer questions. You've not claimed any privilege. I don't think there is any here. And I asked you a question, and you refused to answer it.
I'm interested in an answer to my question.
Let me try to get more information about this. I really don't know anything.
Let's see if somewhere, somehow, we can find a question you'll answer.
I can't. I'm not going to answer that question.
I do not find your testimony credible.
I'd be happy to take back your question. If we can respond to it, we will.
I don't trust you.
I'd have to get back to you on that.
Everything is obfuscated?
I have no specific recollection.
It's almost an Alice in Wonderland situation.
Thank you for the opportunity for me to look at that.
Not making any progress here. Let me go to another topic.
I can't respond to your question. I can't. I'm not going to answer that question.
I asked you a question, and you refuse to answer.
Sir, I'm not going to answer this question. You know I can't answer that question.
What credibility is left for you?
We'll go back and see whether or not I can answer the question.
What keeps you in the job, Mr. Attorney General?
That's a very good question, Senator.
And as Mr. Bush said today, Al Gonzalez is a man of integrity, decency, and principle. Oh, my God. Peter in Delray Beach, Florida writes, Mike, watching the criminally insane George W. Bush today with all his proclamations about the virtues and integrity of his flying monkey, Alberto Gonzalez, is video proof of a deluded, dangerous sociopath. Fortunately, the majority of the American people have seen through all the lies. And like most sociopaths, he will say whatever the sociopath's mind deems necessary to the sociopath's ends. This is, got time for one more email here. This is from Tufts. No, this is from Nanette. A rove is a rove is a rove. I kind of like that. Hi, Mike. I'm convinced that this nasty piece of fatty gristle is going to pop his dirty wad of a face up to run the 2008 presidential campaign. This is his true calling, and if he succeeds in doing his nasty business on all of us, he will once more take his place as advisor to our next dictator. They just keep recycling these guys and not really caring if we notice or not. Keeping it lit in Northern California, Nanette. P.S. Okay, I'm off to self-medicate with a tumbler of Shiraz.
I burn my bags, I clean the floor, watch me walking, walking out the door. Believe me, I'll make it, make it. Believe me, I'll make it, make it. Would I lie to you? Would I lie?
That we live in a time when a talented and honorable person like Alberto Gonzalez is impeding from doing important work because his good name was dragged through the mud.
Through the what? God, that movie scared me. All right, we have, we have miles to go here tonight. I don't know how we're going to get through all this. Did you hear what happened to John Warner now, Senator Warner? No. He wasn't caught in the bathroom. He was married to Liz Taylor, for God's sake. Remember last week he suggested that some troops leave Iraq, U.S. troops, by the end of the year. as a show or something to send a message. You know, the whole thing was sick and degenerate, but Warner is a sick, degenerate man. He's a throwback to the mid-19th century and is just pissed off that he can't own himself any niggers. But he made the suggestion that we might send a signal to whoever happens to be the Iraqi prime minister when the time comes to send the signal. And the signal would be to withdraw, you know, maybe 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 U.S. troops by the end of the year. Well, that statement has just sent a sharp, white-hot poker up the collective rear ends of everybody, apparently, in the Bush crime family, especially Cheney, who doesn't need hot things there. The Bush crime family demanded that he clarify his remarks, what I'm trying to say. Get it out, Malloy. On Friday, in an interview with the Associated Press, Warner said, I'm not going to issue any clarification. I don't think any clarification is needed. You know, he might have added, I'm just a stupid, half-dead old white man who would like to own slaves, and I can't do it anymore. And all I'm saying is I'm getting tired of the Iraqi government not responding because, you know, we're America, so let's pull some troops out. What do we got there, 160,000? All right, let's take a couple dozen out. I'm not going to issue any clarification, but I would like some Negroes. So he says he's not going to, no clarification. Now, at one time in a different lifetime, he was the former chairman of the Armed Services Committee, and he was Navy Secretary during the Vietnam War. Is that when he was married to National Velvet? I don't remember. But he took a trip to Iraq this month, which included a two-hour meeting with Petraeus. And when he came back, he said time has run out on the Baghdad government. Uh-oh. His remarks in this Bush crime family fantasy world, his remarks were significant because, first of all, he's a Republican. Even though he's half dead and wants to own some Negroes, he is a Republican. He used to be Secretary of the Navy. He said he was still opposed to Democratic legislation ordering troop withdrawals, generally speaking. But it was the first time that he'd come out and said we should pull troops out by a certain date. End of the year, a couple dozen or whatever he said. I don't care. 5,000, it doesn't make any difference. Now, after Warner made these ideas public, White House officials said they reached out to Warner's staff and asked him to clarify his position. Reached out? What do you mean? With a gun in your hand? What did you say to him? You want some anthrax, you Negro want-to-own thug? You want some anthrax? In the AP interview, Warner said he personally had not been asked to revise his comments, and he took no issue with how his views are reported. When asked whether he had indeed split with Bush on Iraq, he declined to say and noted his remarks speak for themselves. He said, you have to surmise that on your own, but I wish I could still own Negroes. So, guess what's going on now? Well, Warner has come under heavy attack from the right. The crazy right. The Sean Hannity, thumb-sucking, hair-twisting, Ted Nugent, drop a load in your pants before you go in for your army physical, right? Freedom Watch, a new White House front group run by Ari Fleischer that is trying to sell a war to a country that doesn't want it. Freedom Watch has attacked Warner. Appearing on the PBS NewsHour, and for any of you freaks out there who still believe that PBS is a liberal network, oh, stop. For Christ's sake, stop. There is no liberal anything left. There isn't, except this network, and who knows, maybe someday Shelley Drobny will turn into a right-wing fanatic. I have no idea. But there is no liberal anything left except this, what you're listening to now on this network. So Freedom Watch attacked Warner. Appearing on the PBS NewsHour, Freedom Watch spokesman Brad Blakeman claimed that Warner's call for redeployment of a couple of dozen troops, quote, hurts the cause of freedom, end quote. You miserable pissant. Unbelievable. Now, Freedom Watch, that's that new right-wing front group that Ari Fleischer runs that has unveiled this month-long $15, $20 million television radio advertising campaign in 20 different markets, 20 states, pressuring Congress to continue sending people to die and murdering people. You know, if it's such a swell war, why do they need a PR firm to sell it to America? Huh? Who are they trying to sell this to? You sick bastards. But Ari Fleischer's Freedom Watch group has produced four ads. None of them contain anything other than fear-mongering about an Iraq pullout. You know, if we don't fight them there, we'll have to fight them here. Jesus, I am so old. I remember the same thing about Vietnam. If we don't fight the Viet Cong over in on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, we'll have to fight them in the streets of San Diego. That was in the 60s. In the 80s, if we don't fight the Sandinistas in Nicaragua, we'll have to fight them in the streets of San Antonio. We have got to be, for the most part, the dumbest, stupidest, most ignorant collection of citizens ever assembled in any one place at any one time. They keep selling us the same garbage over and over and over and over. Just like back in the 60s. The missile gap. Some of you are not old enough. You weren't even born. But yeah, one of the points that John Kennedy ran on against Nixon was that there was a missile gap. The Russians had more missiles than we did. Yeah, turned out that not only did we have 10 times as many, theirs didn't work. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Cheryl in Albuquerque writes in, Mike, ironically, Bush was in New Mexico today to attend a fundraiser for Senator Pete Domenici. Senator Domenici, along with Congresswoman Heather Wilson, are the two politicians from New Mexico who called the former U.S. attorney, David Iglesias, to ask about the progress of an investigation involving voter fraud. When Iglesias said an indictment would not be handed down until at least December, this was prior to the election, the line went dead. As you know, Iglesias was fired by Bush 1 month after the midterm election. This incident led to most of Alberto's troubles. On a sad side note, a New Mexico motorcycle officer died this afternoon after he crashed as he accompanied Bush's motorcade from the airport in Albuquerque to the private fundraiser for Senator Domenici. Yeah, he was, we did some checking here, This is a second cop to die escorting this sick son of a bitch in a year. The last one happened in Hawaii a year ago. This cop was a 40-year-old Rio Rancho New Mexico officer whose name was not released pending notification of relatives. A spokesman for the Albuquerque Police Department said he was pronounced dead at an Albuquerque hospital. He crashed at the Albuquerque airport at a point where a road enters an underground parking garage. Bush had been headed to the airport after attending a fundraiser for Domenici. Photographers and reporters in the presidential motorcade said the officer's motorcycle appeared to be nearly destroyed. The officer leaves behind a wife and two teenage children. And it was a Honolulu police officer who died last November when he and two other motorcycle officers crashed while part of a presidential motorcade traveling across Hickam Air Force Base. Wherever Bush goes, there is death, there is dismemberment, destruction, pain, suffering, misery. He's an evil, 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 evil man. Oh, my God. A fundraiser for another thug, Pete Domenici. And a cop has to die. Ah, you filthy pigs, all of you. Jesus. Oh, just a postscript to Senator Larry Craig. He has withdrawn from the, as a Romney, Mitt Romney campaign associate. He had a role in the campaign. He resigned tonight as Senate co-chairman of Mitt Romney's presidential campaign. Romney's campaign said in a statement, quote, Senator Craig has stepped down from his role with the campaign. He did not want to be a distraction, and we accept his decision, end quote. He sent us a message from the Minneapolis toilet at the airport out there, and we don't care where the message came from. We're glad the sumbitch is gone. In February, Mitt Romney had announced that Craig of Idaho and Robert Bennett of Utah would serve as Senate liaisons. They need a Senate liaison, somebody in the Senate for a presidential candidate? Really? Oh, I didn't know that. Romney had said in a statement announcing the roles back in February, both men have a unique perspective of the new generation of challenges confronting our nation, although Senator Craig's comes through the crack of a toilet in the Minneapolis airport. I look forward to working with him to find the solutions needed to ensure that our country remains a strong world leader. And in May, a couple of months ago, Romney's campaign had announced that Larry Craig would be co-chairman of the Romney for President Idaho leadership team. Ooh, well, I guess that's off too, huh? Craig said at the time in a Romney campaign statement, our government is in need of a proven leader like Governor Romney who will put in place benchmarks and streamline our government using proven conservative principles, like peeking through cracks in the toilet at the airport and going in and trying to proposition a cop, and then, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. His message is resonating with voters, and I'm looking forward to helping him on his way to winning the Republican nomination. Maybe they'll rename that place the Larry Craig Suite at the Minneapolis airport toilet. After reports of Larry Craig's arrest, the Romney campaign made private a YouTube video in which Craig also praised Romney. They got rid of it. See, real quick. Get rid of that, Jesus God! Did you hear what happened over the weekend in Puerto Rico? Oh, my God. The National Guard Association is meeting in San Juan, Puerto Rico. That association represents nearly 50,000 current and former Air and Army National Guard officers. They also petition Congress for resources. It's an association. Well, Puerto Rico's governor, Aníbal Acevedo, said Saturday that the U.S. should get out of Iraq, and he got a standing ovation from more than 4,000 National Guard officers. Governor Acevedo said that the U.S. administration has, quote, no new strategy and no signs of success, end quote, and that prolonging the war would needlessly put guardsmen in harm's way. He went on to say, the war in Iraq has fractured the political will of the United States and the world. Clearly, a new war strategy is required and urgently. This is the 129th National Guard Association Conference. Acevedo went on to say that sending more troops to Iraq would be a costly blunder. He said, quote, by increasing the number of National Guard and Reserve troops, we put our soldiers in danger for the umpteenth time since the beginning of the global war on terrorism. He called, end quote, he called on D.C. Or Bush or whoever the hell is in charge up there to withdraw troops from Iraq. Colonel David Baralt, the Guard's top official in the U.S. Caribbean territory, who was at this conference, said Acevedo did receive a standing ovation. The nonpartisan National Guard Association represents nearly 50,000 current former Air and Army National Guard officers. Acevedo also said, quote, the daily death toll of Americans and their allies has caused irreparable anguish here in Puerto Rico and throughout the country. The same could be said for the people of Iraq, end quote. And he got a standing ovation. Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe the officers involved in the standing ovation could get word through various chains of command that it's time to come home. And last week we reported the deaths of 14 soldiers who were killed in a helicopter crash in Iraq. 14 of them. Remember that? Turns out that several of the soldiers killed in that helicopter crash were to be witnesses in the homicide trial of their former superior. A couple of TV stations around the country and a couple of newspapers reported Sunday that some of the soldiers who died in the crash had been scheduled to testify in the trial of Sergeant First Class Trey Corrales, who was accused of orchestrating the deaths of Iraqi detainees this year. Corrales, who was in the same Hawaii-based platoon as the soldiers killed in Wednesday's crash, allegedly shot one detainee repeatedly June 23rd. He is accused of then ordering his subordinate and fellow defendant, Specialist Christopher Shore, to continue shooting the man. The detainee died. Retired military lawyer Earl Partington said the loss of the witnesses could prove detrimental to the prosecution's case against these two. Mr. Partington said, if these witnesses are no longer alive, there is no way for the accused or their counsel to question them. Unfortunately, it could mean that there is no trial. Yeah, coincidence, huh? Yeah, just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. And how quick the military was to say that it was not brought down by enemy fire. No, it was a mechanical failure. Had to be mechanical failure. Couldn't have been. Couldn't have been. Couldn't have been. And Bush's Freedom on the March. Do you know how close they are to a military coup planned for Iraq? Freedom on the March! Look at the purple fingers. All I know is 8 million people went to the polls and voted in Iraq. They did. Problem is, they voted for the wrong guy. So we're going to have to throw some bitch and put another one. This is more purple fingers. Got some more purple fingers. Got to have lots of purple fingers. I love purple fingers. Don't you love purple fingers? Larry Craig likes purple fingers. That's just a joke. 16 past the hour. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
We've got a strategy, and I'm going to keep talking about the strategy. It'll yield to victories. I lost my ignorance, security, and pride. I'm all alone, and you might spy. It's your promises, your promises and lies.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
Was it last Thursday or Friday, Kathy, where we said look for Gonzalez to resign over the weekend? What was it? Yeah, was it Friday? Friday night show. All right, here's another one for you. There is a military coup planned for Iraq. I get this from several sources. Jay in Everett, Washington, is one of those sources. A rumor is circulating among well-connected and formerly high-level Iraqi bureaucrats in exile in places like Damascus that a military coup is being prepared for Iraq. There is no certitude that this plan can or will be implemented. That it is being discussed at high level seems highly likely. There is serious talk of a military commission to take over the government. The parties would be banned from holding positions and all the ministers would be technocrats, so to speak. Jay writes, wouldn't that be ironically sad yet funny for the many George W. Bush's lies about freedom being on the march in Iraq to march our U.S. troops stuck there right into supporting a Shiite military technocratic coup and dictatorship? Yeah, I think it's very, very, very close. This is what Ari Fleischer and his Nazi organization is doing, softening up whoever is paying attention to this sick, sorry bastard, that softening up the American public for what is going to be a military coup, and they're going to do is put in a new Saddam. That's all. It is clear. It was clear for decades to anyone who paid any attention to Iraq that the country is not about democracy. That is a Western concept that just does not apply where it concerns certain countries any more than tribalism applies here. I mean, why is that so hard to understand? And it's much, much easier for a fascist regime like Bush's to deal with other fascist regimes anyway, like Pervez Musharraf, for example, or the Saudis, or whoever it is. It is much easier for a thug, a coward, and a rat bastard like George Bush and his regime to deal with other thugs, cowards, and rat bastards who are propped up by the military. You know, all this talk about democracy was a joke. That was for the goofs back in middle America to sit back and say, oh, yeah, the freedom's on the march. Freedom's on the march. I'm going to vote for George. My God. So anyway, I stopped making predictions years and years and years ago, but maybe it's time to start again. Look for Alawi. No, not Alawi. He's the one they're going to put in there. Maliki. Look for a Maliki to be overthrown. What's today, Kathy? The 25th? 27th? Today's the 27th? How many days this month? 31? All right, before Friday. Before Friday, look for al-Maliki to be gone. Either he will, quote, resign, end quote, to spend more time with his family, or he will be overthrown by other Shia. But it's going to happen. There's no question. It's going to happen. And the story that really, really upset me today was this thing from Digby, a blogger. She writes, Louisiana has been a swing state for some time in which Democrats were dependent on the black majority in the state's largest city, New Orleans, to win. It was not lost on Karl Rove that all of those poor New Orleans African Americans and their children being dispersed throughout the nation after Katrina could only be good for Republicans. As of now, only about two-thirds have returned, not enough to keep the state swinging red. It looks very likely that the state will have a Republican governor and two Republican senators in 2008. The point of what Digby is writing, and she wrote this a couple of days ago, is that it was Karl Rove who decided to let New Orleans rot. 200,000 people, the population of that city was reduced by, what, 250,000? A quarter of a million people, less people are there now than there was pre-Katrina. And arguably, at least in Gristlehead's brain, they were all going to vote Democratic anyway. That was one of the reasons you kept getting Democratic House members and senators and mayors and governors and so on and so forth out of Louisiana. So when Bush made the tour over New Orleans on Air Force One, it was Rove who said, no, don't land. Let's just look at this garbage and see all those fetid Negroes down there, bodies floating in the water and stinking up the air in the Superdome. Let them continue to rot, Mr. President. Let's disperse them. Let's do everything we possibly can to make it impossible for New Orleans to remain a majority black city. If we need to use Mother Nature for urban renewal and get rid of the Negroes, we will do it. We have to have whites. We have to have white people. We have to have conservatives. We have to have good, God-fearing, queer-hating Republicans in the great state of Louisiana in positions of power. So let the Negroes drown. Let them die. Do not reconstruct their filthy little shanty towns. Let them rot. Trust me, Mr. President. This is horrifying. I read this today, and I just, no, this can't be. And then I stopped and thought, yes, of course it is. Of course it is. Karl Rove is an evil, evil son of a bitch. Of course it. Of course that's what happened.
go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
Yeah, the rumors are flying fast and furious that Skeletor, Michael Chertoff, he of the devil, is going to be the acting attorney general. John in Mendon, Utah, sends this email. And Mike, something that's boiled my blood for 6 years is Bush and Company flying all over the United States in Air Force One to go to these fundraisers. And in the one he went to today, of course, another police officer dies. How much does that cost us? John writes. Bring this up, please, and rant on it. If Gore or Clinton did anything, the Republican hate machine was all over it. Like John Edwards in his $400 haircut. Oh, and as far as Larry Craig, that anti-gay, anti-environment prostitute who wants to sell off our national forests and public lands to his livestock producer buddies like J.R. Simplot, I don't know who that is, who single-handedly has destroyed hundreds of thousands of acres of wildlife habitat with his cows on our public lands at our expense. Yeah, wherever Bush goes, there is death, destruction, chaos, fire, flames. He is a demon, if such a thing existed, you know, which they don't. There's only one demon in America, and that's Rush Limbaugh. Well, no, he's a pig. Never mind. Have you noticed that about Bush? No matter where he goes or what he does, there's death all around him. Just death. Tons of it. Stinking freak. All right, it's time to do some conversation here, phone calls. If you're interested, the number is 800-989-1480. So we will take your calls, 800-989-1480. Let's start with Alex, who is listening on KPHX in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hey, Alex.
Hey, how you doing? I called in tonight when you were back on the earlier topic about the helicopter crash.
Yes.
There was a helicopter crash last year, the same time just before Memorial Day weekend, and it was actually 10 Coast Guard medics.
I remember that, of course.
Yeah, and that was Anthony Gillespie, Kevin Gillespie's only son. We're coming up on the 1 year anniversary. I've watched this woman's life get ruined because of losing her own only son. And I don't want to go into what she's gone into and the pain she's felt and what she's resorted to. Right. But I've watched her life become basically destroyed. She's become closed up, doesn't answer phone calls, doesn't talk with the neighbors, just totally gone because of this SOB transferring these medics over there. And then all you can say is, well, we thank the Coast Guard for their contribution. And it just kills me. I watched this kid grow up for 20 years. I watched all four other 19-year-olds that were from Paradise Valley High School that just got blown up in the past 6 months, two in the Marines and two in the Army that were in their Hummers and got blown up.
Yeah.
The numbers we're feeling here, I mean, it's not like they're singling out Arizona. But the thing about the only son, he was going to become a doctor. He joined the Coast Guard because he didn't want to go to Baghdad and have his mom lose her only kid.
Yeah.
You know, and the anniversary's coming up, and, you know, we're still having helicopters falling out of the air, whether it's mechanical or being blown up one way or the other. Who knows how some other person didn't walk up and cut a few hydraulic lines.
That's very true.
Hey, you know, Sheila didn't have time to improvise advice. Maybe the guys didn't put them. Well, hey, well, let's just double check it. We'll walk out there with some wire cutters and just cut a few hydraulic lines and then watch that thing go up in the air and watch it fall down.
Yeah, George Bush and his cabal of thugs has really unleashed a reign of terror on this planet. Not just in the United States, not just in Afghanistan and Iraq, but all over the planet. These are killer people. I mean, they're just it's horrifying. If you stop and consider this stuff longer than a few minutes, Alex, you're just left with the clear understanding that these people define evil. I got to leave it there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking. All right, take care. Keith is calling from North Carolina, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Keith, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey.
I kind of took issue with how you worded the death of the motorcycle officers, that Bush was there, therefore they died.
Yeah. Is that not true? Did I say something wasn't true?
Well, that's a freak accident. You can't really blame that on
anyone. No, you're kind of missing the point. George W. Bush jets around the country at taxpayer expense to do fundraisers for other sick, sodden, perverted Republicans, and a cop who is forced into duty to protect this miserable bastard dies. What did I say there that you find factually incorrect?
I'm not defending that Bush flies around the country at taxpayers.
Okay, but I'm still trying to understand what your issue with me is.
You can't blame something like that because it takes away from legitimate complaints. If you go off on a tangent like that, Bush is to blame for everything.
Apparently, you either cannot or are unable to hear me. I'll say it again. George W. Bush, at taxpayer expense, gets on Air Force One and today goes to the Albuquerque area and then the Seattle area for fundraisers for other miscreant, filthy Republicans. And in the course of this, as what happened less than a year ago, cops die who are trying to escort this miserable bastard. Again, what is it that I'm saying there that you find factually incorrect?
Nothing about that seems correct.
Okay, all right. Well, I just wanted to make sure. Thanks, Keith. I appreciate you checking in. Pablo is calling from L.A., listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Pablo, welcome to the program.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, it's pretty ironic that caller that doesn't quite get it here. You know, I'm basically calling to waken up these people. I mean, Bush and all these other thugs that surround him. This is not new. This is the same gameplay. They play this game over and over again. Every war since World War II has been started by these guys, by the same kind of guys, including their parents and grandfathers, going back to Prescott Bush. And behind all this stuff is these world bankers, the ones that started the Federal Reserve, and they're the ones who perpetuate all these wars. They fund back and forth. They fund the other side as well as our side, and then claim we're fighting for freedom or whatever else they want to lie to us about. And people need to start waking up to the fact that the only way we're going to take back this country is we need to get rid of the Federal Reserve, get rid of the IRS, and get rid of the CIA. And ironically enough, the only person who normally went, if there's a president in power, which was Kennedy, who wanted to get rid of these things, obviously ended up dead. And no one wakes up to that fact.
I hear you.
Hello?
All right, thanks, Pablo. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, well, I mean, Pablo said it. There's nothing else to add. He's absolutely right. Now, a minute ago, I read that email from Idaho. I said I didn't know who Simplot is. Shirley writes, Simplot is Idaho's billionaire owner of all politicians in the state. He never cares who wins or what party. He always says he owns them all anyway. He is the owner of Simplot Industries, fertilizers and other unhealthy stuff. Okay. That's Larry Craig's mentor, I guess, or his bankroller, or whatever he is. This is from Tim in San Diego. Hi, Mike. Subject line is, and they're afraid of my lifestyle. This is in reference to Larry Craig. Tim writes, hi, Mike. Gee, my partner and I must be dull. In our 14-year relationship, we've never hired a male prostitute. Nor have we ever molested a Senate page or tried to solicit sex in a public restroom. Apparently, the members of the grand old party, which sounds like a pretty wild old party to me, must take a cue from their cretinous leader and attach a signing statement to their marriage vows. Rumors have circulated about Senator Larry Craig for ages now, proving once again the old gay adage that, quote, when it comes to Republicans, where there's smoke, there's Fire Island. End quote. Love, Tim in San Diego. Thanks, Tim. Where there's smoke, there's Fire Island. Matt is calling from Idaho, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? Long time since I called last.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you again.
Yeah, just calling regarding our evil Senator Craig. No surprise, I guess, as you've been hearing from a lot of these people writing in. He's definitely a hypocrite, just like the rest of them. I guess just a little bit of a rah-rah for all those people that kind of wonder about the wilderness here in Idaho. Former U.S. Representative LaRocco, that represented the great state of Idaho in the early 80s, and a former student, if you will, of Senator Frank Church, who helped create the lower 48th, largest roadless wilderness area. He's going to be running against Craig's position in 08. And just letting you guys know that Democrats like myself are going to be using this type of truth to fight against these guys in the 08 election.
That's a good idea. Matt, if you will email me the name of this candidate, we'll try to get this person on. Matt, I got to leave you there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. The wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching their eyes, looking for traces of what I'm dreaming of, hoping to find a friend and a lover. Ah, bless the day I discover another heart.
Out, join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
It's about 10 before the hour. Tim writes in, Mike, if you've eaten French fries at McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, etc., you're supporting Potato King J.R. Simplot. Simplot, almost a centenarian, is probably the richest, most powerful man in Idaho. He became a potato farmer in the 30s and really became wealthy during World War II. Anywhere you go in southern Idaho potato country, you'll see Simplot-owned farms, processing plants, etc. He runs the state, and he's very, very conservative. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Pamela writes, a couple of you have written this, and I don't have the answer. I think the answer is yes. Chertoff does hold dual citizenship in both the U.S. and Israel. I don't know. Three or four of you have written. Pamela writes, does Chertoff hold dual citizenship in U.S. and Israel? Just wondering. Think I heard that on Tom Hartman's program today. Hope you can find out. That'll be your assignment, Pamela. And then she has a quotation here from the poetry of Rumi. You all familiar with Rumi, a Persian poet from, oh God, I don't know, 12th century, 13th century? Here's the poem. Sit still and listen, for you are drunk, and we are at the edge of the roof. Yeah. Oh, I love it. All right, back to your phone calls. Where are we here? Tom is calling from San Diego. Still listening on KLSD? Really? Tom?
Yeah.
Are you still listening to us on KLSD?
Yes.
Oh, they haven't flipped the programming yet. Okay.
Well, no, I don't think they're going to lose it, I hope.
Well, I hope not, too.
That's hope we have here.
We would hate to. Yeah, there's. What do you have, about five right-wing stations? And
oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
They're all a bunch of a-holes. I mean, bad. But what I want to call out is the plane.
Well, that'll help keep the programming the way it is. No, I'll tell you what you should do. I understand there was a rally in the parking lot at, I don't know, just notify KLSD that, you know, politely and kindly that you don't want to lose the only liberal or progressive talk station in the market, and maybe they'll do something. I don't know, though. But the real reason you called.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that I wanted to go to the rally, but I already had a pre-arranged appointment. I couldn't go, but that was the only reason I didn't go. Yeah. The reason I wanted to call is just to tell you when the jerk flies in Air Force One around the country, it's using about 3,600 gallons an hour.
Wait. Say that again.
Air Force One uses about 3,600 gallons of fuel per hour.
Yeah, think of what that does to the upper atmosphere, huh? That crap burning out and dumping into the air, yeah.
You think he gives a damn?
Of course not.
That's the only reason I called to tell you, not just to have your listeners hear that, because, But anyway, thanks, Mike.
Okay, take care. Appreciate you checking in, Tom.
Bye-bye.
All right, have a nice evening. Kate writes about the arrogant Alberto Gonzalez regarding his little sign-off statement today. Kate writes, did you catch the slam on his father when he said, my worst day was better than my father's best day? What a thing to say. Apparently all these criminals have daddy issues. I hope his mom is alive to slap the smug off his face. Miserable, tiny-minded wipers of other people's bottoms. Yeah, I hear you. All right, Barbara is calling from Seattle, listening on the Internet. Hey, Barbara, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I just thought I'd pop in that I did my bit today.
You did?
Yeah, Bush was in Bellevue for his $1,000 a plate lunch for Dave Reichert. And so, which I ignored, didn't go anywhere near Bellevue, and because they closed up the whole freeway.
Somebody else sent me an email, said that the traffic just kind of stopped.
Yeah, I mean, this was right in the middle, right at commute time, and whenever he's on the freeway, they stop all traffic in that direction for miles in either direction.
Hey, can you hold on?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I thought I heard the music. Go ahead, Barbara.
It's probably the TV. Let me turn this thing down.
That's
Jeopardy,
probably what it
can
was.
I say? Anyway, so there was that. But aside from that, I was watching the news, and they say, here he is at Boeing Field, and look at his plane. It's going to be taking off north, and if you see a plane in the sky, that's all it is. It's going to be Air Force One because no other planes, they've closed the airspace.
Yeah.
So I saw the plane take off, went outside. Sure enough, there it was, going overhead. So I waited and knew it was going to fly right over the house. As soon as it got right over the house, I flipped him off. So I just wanted to let, and nothing fell from the sky. I'm still here. So I just wanted to let you know I've contributed my little bit for the day.
Well, you're still there tonight.
Yeah.
If you hear a knock on your door this evening, don't answer it.
Don't answer it, and I don't think they have outbound phone lines from Gitmo. But
I don't think so. I don't think. Well, I'm glad you flipped him off, Barbara. Way to go.
Hey, I had to do it.
I hear you. Thank you. All right. She did it for all of us. Barbara did it for all of us. All right, we're getting some emails here. Sue in St. Augustine, Chertoff does have dual citizenship, U.S.-Israel.
No, I just had one word, or maybe it's two words for Barbara.
Yeah.
Google Earth.
That's true. Be careful, Barbara. We downloaded that whole program about a year ago, and it's fascinating. Google Earth. If you don't have that, you ought to get it. Whoa.
First time I watched people swimming in a public pool from space. You know, you're like, oh, yeah, the government can't watch you.
You're strange, Kathy. All right, we have a break here. We shall come back for the final hour of the program. We're going to try to make it mostly telephone calls, and we have two open lines, so you might want to get in here and join us. 800-989-1480, if you are listening in San Diego or San Francisco. The San Francisco thing, well, both of them really breaks my heart, but especially San Francisco. We have such a lively audience there, and they're going to move our program from up to 11 o'clock at night and delay it? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I heard you left your heart there.
I left my heart there several times. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
drunk in a midnight choir. I have tried in my way to be free. Like a fish on a hook, like a knife from an old-fashioned book.
Welcome back, or I should say, welcome back. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around here for the third hour of the program tonight. Or if you're just joining us, where the hell you been? Man, did you miss a good first 2 hours? We will have an Uncle Mike Story Corner coming up tomorrow night. And I just got an email from someone who wants me to make sure, and I'm sorry, the email is gone, that Freedom Watch is different from the Freedom Watch that is run by Ron Paul, the Republican candidate for president. The other Freedom Watch, the one that Ari Fleischer runs, is bankrolled by a bunch of real American Nazis, one of whom is a guy named Sembler, S-E-M-B-L-E-R, who builds shopping malls. As a matter of fact, he's built a couple here in the Atlanta area and has one in the offing right now that will destroy a huge part of the city. These people are real bastards. They are real evil, evil people. But you know that. Let's go back to your phone calls. Greg is calling from New Mexico, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Greg.
Hello?
Hey, Greg, welcome to the program.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, cool. I just wanted to make a comment. You had a caller on a few minutes ago. He said he was from Idaho, and he said that, basically he made the comment that that all Republicans were hypocrites, and I am a Republican, and I'm not a hypocrite. I totally agree with you guys on the fact that George Bush is a liar. He's a crook. He's in the game for himself. He doesn't, he doesn't care about America. All he cares about is his financial situation. It'll be very interesting to see him, leave office and to see American change.
Who among the candidates for president on the Republican side in 08 would you say is a real Republican?
Well, I've never voted before, but I have really been thinking about voting this year, and I think I would put my money on Barack Obama.
He's a Democrat.
Right, exactly. I don't want any of the Republicans. I think they're all fake.
Well, then maybe you're not a Republican.
No, I am. I'm more of a Republican than the other ones.
What makes you a Republican, Greg?
I guess what would declare me as a Republican is the fact that all I ever hear is many Democrats. All they do is cry and whine. And like the lady in Seattle, she said that the president, his motorcade, shut down the freeway. They do that for any president. Doesn't matter if they're
No, wait. What makes you a Republican?
Well, I'm not really sure on what the definition of, what makes a person a Republican and what makes a person
okay,
a Democrat.
Okay. Okay. What makes you a Republican? Hold on just a second, Greg. I'm not trying to challenge you. I'm not trying to threaten you. I'm just looking I'm just looking for information.
Right.
You've identified yourself as a Republican. What makes you a Republican?
I think what makes me a Republican is, when we were attacked in 9/11, I believe, what George Bush had said, that that they came over here, they attacked us, and I was just ecstatic that we were going to go over there and attack them.
Okay, now wait, let's pause right there.
Okay.
Of the 19 people who came to this country on September 11, 2001, and bombed and murdered, 15 of them were from one country. Do you know what
Arabia.
That? Saudi Arabia. When did we start bombing Saudi Arabia?
Exactly. And you know the reason.
Well, no, wait,
why
no, wait, no, like, wait, 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 wait. No, you're making me a little bit dizzy here. You say you support George Bush because he responded to the attack on September 11th. No, he didn't.
Well, the reason why we supported him is because he gave us the facts that he wanted us to hear. He didn't give us the facts that were the actual
facts. In other words, he's a liar.
Exactly.
Okay, well then why are you using that as an example to define yourself as a Republican? Craig McGreg, you're not making any sense. You're giving me reason after reason after reason why no one should be a Republican, and yet you keep saying you're a Republican because George Bush, yada yada, on 9/11. What he did on 9/11 was convince America to go destroy itself rather than go after the people who really attacked us.
Exactly.
So I don't know what makes you a I still don't know what makes you a Republican.
Well, maybe I'm not, because I do agree with a lot of Democratic values.
Okay, well maybe you're not, but then again
I do you know, when I hear other Republicans talk, I agree with, you know, what they say too.
Well, what is it that they say that you agree with? That's what I'm trying to find out from you.
Now a lot of my friends had said, and they're not Democrats, they're Republicans, and I know the difference between me and Democrats, because of the fact that my dad's a Democrat, and me and him argue all the time, but we do agree on the one thing, and that's George Bush, that he is definitely a liar, and, you know, and he needs to be thrown out.
But what is it? What is a Republican? What makes you a Republican?
What's your definition of a Republican?
No. You're the one that called the program. What is a Republican definition of U.S. foreign policy? What is a Republican definition of the functions of government? What is a Republican definition on spending or taxation? What is a Republican definition on national security? What is a Republican definition on gay marriage? Is he gone?
I think you lost him at definition.
Okay. David is calling from Idaho, listening on the internet. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
Fine.
Good.
I don't want to talk about Idaho a lot. I just love this state. I love these mountains. I love everything about it.
Oh, it's a beautiful state.
And the politics are way, you know, 10th place. I wanted to make the statement where I think, I don't know if I'm the only guy that remembers this, but did George Bush run over a guy on a bicycle in a motor cascade in Britain? I think this is the third one he killed, basically. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, probably more where it concerns motorcades. You know, they're not reported that often. To Bush, it's like collateral damage. It's just corpses that got in the way. You know, he is the president, and he has a right to cause people to die when he passes if they don't, ride their motorcycle properly or march properly or protect him properly. They should die in Bush's mind. Bush, the entire Bush family, and anyone who marries into the family, winds up thinking the same way. Human life to them is inconsequential. It really doesn't mean anything unless it's theirs, of course. It means nothing. It's a game. It's just something with which they amuse themselves. How many people died today in Iraq? Oh, I don't know, a couple of hundred. Guffaw, guffaw. You know, how many people died on my motorcade today? Well, I think we lost a cop. Oh, really? Well, that's a shame, isn't it? You know, they're real thugs, David. Just terrible, terrible, terrible people. Thanks, David.
How many people did Clinton kill in motorcade of eight in two terms?
I don't think he killed any. David, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Not that I'm aware of. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. Kathy in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and our good friend Reg over at TV News Lies pretty much worked it out for me on this dual citizenship thing. So let me go with the shorter of the two emails here. Thanks, Kathy, but Reg is shorter than yours. Here's what Reg writes. Mike, the dual citizenship issue is a bit of a red herring. Chertoff, like all Jews who have not renounced their religion, are automatically extended citizenship by Israel under its law of return. There's no application process or swearing of allegiance to Israel for this to occur. Non-Jews who wish to become citizens of Israel have to go through a naturalization process, much like we have in the U.S. Chertoff has dual citizenship simply because he is Jewish. All right. So everybody chill on that issue, okay? Because I know a lot of anti-Semitic right-wing nutball websites love to jump all over that. You know, they talk about Louis Libby, and they just come up with a list of their favorite Jews that they're hating at the moment and accuse them of all sorts of scurrilous bad things. And, you know, the dual citizenship is usually at the top of the list. You know, for some reason, they're not to be trusted because they're really Israeli citizens, and therefore, yada, 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 yada. This is, you know, this is one of the reasons I hate to get into that whole Israeli issue, or because there are right-wing nutballs out there who refuse to differentiate between Israelis and Jews. That's like insinuating that all Catholics are Irish or something. I just get sick of it. So anyway, thanks, Reg. I appreciate that. And if you're listening to this program, please pay attention to what I just shared with you from Reg. Now, you can argue, and I will make the case, that the law of return is inherently unfair because the law of return does not apply to Palestinians. Okay, but but that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about the dual citizenship thing, okay? God, I wish somebody would come along and solve the Israeli-Palestinian issue. Oh, my God, would Earth get much more calm and peaceful, wouldn't it? Back to your phone calls. Jamie is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, Jamie, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
It's going good. How about you?
Not too bad. This is my first time talking to you since you joined up with the NovaM, and I'm glad you're on radio again. Last time I talked to you was prior to the 2004 election. So,
oh, my God, that was a long time ago. Well, I'm glad to hear from you again, Jamie.
All right, the biggest, I guess I was going to talk, I told you Carl I was going to talk about old Alberto, but, you know, your last caller, the other one before, in regards to you were asking him what was the Republican.
Yeah.
I think that really exemplifies where this country is today. I truly believe people are just truly ignorant of what they believe in. They just latch onto something and they hold to it.
And you know, the sad part, Jamie, they'll usually latch on because of a single issue. Like, everyone thinks that if they're against abortion, They have to be a Republican, which is not the case,
yeah.
Because Democrats are anti-abortion too. It's
exactly.
Just that you know, Democrats are more aware that it's a privacy issue, not an abortion issue. A Republican operative, long before Turd Blossom, a guy named Lee Atwater, came up with these issues to divide Americans for the Republicans, for Reagan, for Nixon, and you know, whether the issue is gay rights or nukes or killing people in the name of Jesus, whatever the issue is, that's what people latch onto, and they think that makes them a Republican, while at the same time they're voting for a party that is destroying the country, destroying our livelihood, destroying everything that Democrats and Republicans worked together to put together over maybe 100 years. And that's the part that bothers me, and I'm sure it probably bothers you too.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, and try to answering his question, back in the old days when I was in college, the thing that defined Republicans versus the Democrats usually came down to be fiscal conservative, i.e. Republicans felt that less taxes meant that you had more money in your pocket to do whatever was the case they'd be. They said less government intervention.
Which was even back then was a lie. Even back then it wasn't true. But that was the propaganda, right?
Exactly. And you look at the way, and I'm gonna be honest with you, if you look at the way and I look at it, and you can cut me off and yell at me before, but the reason why I call myself, and I'm right now I'm so mad at the Democrats for their lack of competence right now for what they have for what they're trying to do when they take impeachment off the table for what this clown has done. You know, you get upset, but to me, you can define this country on one thing. If you're, and I hate to use this term, if you're a racist, you believe that no one else should have any rights other than your whatever particular belief is, then you side with the Republicans because that's who they want. Usually the Democrats, they're always saying that we're all one. We need to be in it as one to a point.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with it at all, Jamie. I think you make a good point. Current Republicans are, by definition, racist. There's no question. Jamie, I got to leave you there. Thanks, pal. Don't be a stranger. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
They can run and hide. Pissed us off, so we voted for Republicans.
Nighty night, truth seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Got an email here from Kathleen in Austin referring to Bush's Vietnam comparison last week. Remember that? That sorry son of a bitch making that comparison. That's like, Anyway, the subject line, more Vietnam parallels. Kathleen writes, Mike, do you think Bush was consciously or unconsciously letting us know the next Vietnamization of Iraq phase of the occupation? I can't remember how many heads of state our CIA had assassinated in Vietnam. I think it was at least two. But wouldn't that be the next logical step? Have Maliki assassinated by Al-Qaeda terrorists? Two coups with one coup. They get rid of an uncooperative ally, and they've got a new outrage to beat their war drums for. But they might be just as successful with the Iraqi coup as they were in Vietnam. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they have Maliki murdered. Maybe not. But if they put Alawi back in, that's who Ari Fleischer and the rest of these rat bastards are lobbying for and trying to sell to the American public, or at least the Congress. If they put Alawi back in, or Shalabi, back in the government, then they get, they being the Bush crime family in all its many personifications, they get what they really want, and that is a chump who will do exactly as they tell him to do. You know, this democracy nonsense, Jesus. You know, Cheney and the rest of them are looking at Bush and, you know, why do you keep talking about the purple finger thing? That was the worst thing that we could have done. Let these gooks vote. They have no business voting. These are tribal people. They don't know from voting, George. Jesus, we let you run around with the democracy is coming thing, and you go out of your nut. We don't want democracy. Sit down and shut up. Back to your Game Boy. Go ride your bike. Get out of the way. Let the real killers in here. You're an amateur. That's kind of the attitude that exists in the Bush crime family. You know, Bush is a twit. He's a murderous twit, but he's a twit nonetheless. He's not a world-class killer like Negroponte or Cheney or even this half-wit munchkin Alberto Gonzalez. Those are world-class killers. They know how to murder in huge groups, clots, strings of murders. They know how to do it in a way that the corpses no longer mean anything. They just become, furniture. Bush, on the other hand, still gets sweaty palms and his lower part of his stomach rumbles when he has somebody murdered. He's an amateur. He's an amateur. But this democracy crap that they let him play with in Iraq, amen, people vote. Amen, people went to vote. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. We freed up 50 million people. No, you haven't, halfwit. You haven't freed up anybody. So now, Maliki, the soon-to-be former prime minister of Iraq is toast. If I were Maliki, I'd be leaving the country tonight. I'd be packing my bags. Go ahead, get your half million or half billion, whatever it is you can steal, like the rest of you pigs, and leave. You know, get out of there. France looks good this time of year, so I've heard. You might try Kyrgyzstan. Or even, go to one of the Gulf states. United Arab Emirates, I hear, is just swinging right now. They have kind of dropped the veil, so to speak, where it concerns fundamentalist Islam. You can actually buy a hooker there, Mr. Maliki. So steal what you need to steal and get out of town, pal. They're going to kill you. Don't you understand, you dumbass? They are going to kill you. Wow. Car bomb, IED, XYZ, ABC, it doesn't matter. You are a dead man walking, Mr. Maliki, unless you leave. Go, get. How many dictators, how many puppets has the CIA or the Bush crime family or Nixon or the Johnson or whoever the hell it is, how many have been put in place that when they no longer serve their function, get iced? Come on, dumbass, wake up. You want to be next? Man, I just don't get it. If I were Maliki, Nouri al-Maliki, I would be packing the rolls tonight and on the road to Damascus. Trust me. Rob is calling from Harrisburg, PA, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Rob.
Hi. How you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing great now that I finally got through to you. I've been listening to you for the last couple of years, and let me tell you, it's a refreshing day. It's a refreshing time when I take and I get to be able to get some of the load off my shoulder just by listening to you. But the one thing I wanted to bring up is that, that guy at the top of the hour, I don't like to put anybody down. There's nobody that I really want to hate either. But at the same time, it's where he's a classic example of the conservative mind. Unless somebody tells him what to think, He can't be able to think of anything on his own, you know?
I hear you.
And the whole thing is where there's a leading talk show host out there. He talks about that he does this show with half his brain tied behind his back just to be able to keep it there. Well, his listeners can only be using half their brain to be able to try and understand him.
Well, it's hard to understand a drug addict who has made himself go deaf because he just chewed too many OxyContins, the hillbilly heroin or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is where it come down to where, you ask this guy a couple of questions. He sounded like Alberto Gonzalez. Like, I don't remember. I don't know. And the whole thing is where, you talked about it earlier in the program as far as the American people being stupid. It was where that other talk show host, he asked the American people the exact same thing. I remember it so vividly, just before the 2004 election. It was what he asked right out, are the American people stupid? The whole thing is, in the next 48 hours, we found out that they were, because they voted for Bush, again.
Yeah, I hear you.
So it's just one of those things where, it's where, to talk to people out here, even today, like I was talking to you, talking to the screener and stuff like that, when I heard the guy Alberto Gonzalez, finally quit today, it was like, for me, yeah, it was one of the best things that could have happened. The first person I walked up to say, hey, Alberto Gonzalez just quit. He looked at me and says, who's he?
Right. What, he played third base for the Dodgers?
That just did. It's where people just don't care out here. And the whole thing is, unless people care, guess what? How are you going to make anything change out here?
I know. Speaking of out there, I love Harrisburg, York, and Lancaster. That section of Pennsylvania, God, that's pretty country.
Well, I'm just passing through here again. I'm a truck driver, so I get to be able to take and see it all, and be able to listen to all the things out here. I just got serious, and the whole thing is best thing I ever got. I just got so frustrated with the right-wing talk out there. You know, I mean, I got to the point where I said, no more. I'm going to have to be able to take and buy my way into my freedom so I can be able to listen to something that doesn't just piss me off all day listening to these other people on the air all the time, you know?
Oh, I know. It's crazy. I used to listen to talk radio. I can't do it anymore. In the first place, here in Atlanta, There is no Nova M Radio. There is no Air America, even though Air America is slowly losing.
They were on there at one time. They had a real
station.
Yeah.
We were here at one time, but the station was bought and the programming was murdered so they could put right-wing garbage on.
Yeah, well, that's just it. It's what happened over there in Ohio. Geez, they were all the way across the state. They had them out of, what was it, Akron, Columbus, and Cincinnati. And the whole thing is all of a sudden I passed through there again. And where'd you guys go?
All right. Rob, let me leave it there. Thanks, pal. Stay in touch, all right?
Hey, keep on the air, Mike. I appreciate your time.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Take care. Kim is calling from Fremont, Wisconsin, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Kim.
How you doing? This is Kim, your longtime Vietnam combat vet emailer.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Veterans Against Torture, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I know who you are.
You know, the problem hanging on the line here is that, you know, I have like one thing I'm going to say, and then there's like 20 other topics that come up.
Oh yeah, I know. It's we're all over the map some nights.
Yeah, I also wanted to say, how'd you get Kathy? God, she is so smart.
We met online.
You did?
Lonely Hearts Club. No, I'm just kidding. She was a stalker. I used to be
that must be it. Yeah.
No, it's the truth. I was on a radio show here in Atlanta. And about 12 years ago, and she used to listen, and it was one of these deals where you had to buy your own airtime because I couldn't get a job here in Atlanta. I was too liberal. And and the day I ran out of money and said I was going off the air, she baked some cookies and came down to the station to tell me, here's some cookies, you know, a Southern woman kind of thing. They feed you anything that goes wrong.
Oh, yeah, I know the style.
They'll either bake cookies or they'll make you a jug of iced tea or whatever. So she showed up with these cookies, and about 6 months later we started dating, and a year after that we moved in together, and a year after that we got married.
Wow.
So she was a stalker. She was an honest-to-God stalker. who just insisted on giving me these chocolate chip cookies. And
my God, well, you got stalked by the right person.
and pretending like she was all concerned. Oh, what's the matter with you? She talked like this when she showed up.
Yeah?
She put on that Southern accent.
And that went away a little later, right?
Oh, Jesus, that went away within 15 minutes. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I guess.
Hi, are you Mike Malloy? My name is Kathy Bay, and I heard, listen, I brought you some cookies.
There's a few people in the chat room, Jersey Girl, I don't know if you're in the chat room. She is very smart. Jeff Ferry is in there all the time, too. I wanted to call you. One of the things I want to mention, I heard about J.R. Simplot. That's what got me to call.
Uh-huh.
I was a novice reporter in Idaho, and I did a story on JR. And you remember Dallas?
The TV thing?
That's who JR, that's JR on Dallas was modeled after JR Simplot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. JR started his life, his entrepreneurial life. He's a great American Republican, let me tell you. He started his life shooting horses for dog food, shooting wild horses.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's where he started.
Well, I can't stand people like that, just like Michael Vick shoots dogs.
Really?
Hey, Kim, thanks, pal. Don't be a stranger. Call in once in a while.
Wait a minute. I had a couple other things.
Well, I got to go. I got to leave there. We're flat out of time.
We're just out
of time, buddy. Call me. I call in later on this week. We'll talk again. Thanks, Kim.
I
appreciate you checking in.
Hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, 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 pot
figs and dates and grapes and cakes. Come on to my house, my house, come on. Come on to my house, my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm going to give you all of my wage and a bird in the cage.
Are you Mike Malloy? I made you some cookies.
Yeah, that's kind of how it was, wasn't it? It's about 9 before the hour. Oh, my God, who's this? Marge is calling from Indiana. Marge, where in the hell have you been?
Hey, paisano, come va? Kathy,
I'm
how
okay.
Are you? For cookies?
Yeah, well, it was a cheap date.
You're closer, Kathy. You take care of him.
Where have you been, Marge? We haven't heard from you for...
Every time I call your line, you must have grown a whole new crop of truth seekers. Because every time I call, I couldn't get through.
Oh, is that all
it was?
Or it
was too
okay.
damn hot.
Yeah.
Or we had so damn many thunderstorms rumbling through here, I wasn't going to sit here and hold the phone. Because I just didn't want to do that.
Well, every time we go several weeks without hearing from you, I'm afraid that you're really a CIA agent and you've just gone back, you know, the spy that came in from the cold, and you've been assigned to a different post.
You haven't melted and I haven't floated away. Although if you pay any attention to the news lately, the northeast section of Illinois and parts of my home state of Indiana. Have gotten pretty soggy.
Oh, my God, y'all have been really hammered. So you're okay? Your house hasn't blown down?
No, hallelujah. No, I haven't gotten hit too hard, but I really like to know who the hell trains these so-called civil engineers that they can't build a highway that doesn't get flooded. You know, what's the number? 8094, the Borman Expressway,
yeah.
And the south end of the Dan Ryan, the Bishop Ford.
Yeah.
They just spent God knows how many dollars on refurbishing those highways. I don't know if they're done on the Bishop Ford yet.
Yeah.
And in all this rain, they're flooded. You cannot get through.
Well, that's a Republican plot. But I know you didn't call about the weather.
Nah. I mean, Alberto, he went away. Carl went away. You suppose we can get an AG that might prosecute on the Sherman antitrust law? Or
no.
Did they repeal that?
Well, no, it hasn't been repealed. But these are Republicans. These are Republicans, Marge.
Damn.
Oh, my God. The next attorney general, at least acting attorney general, is probably going to be Skeletor, that, you know, Michael Chertoff, the one who
Jesus.
Did such a jam-up job with the Department of Homeland Security.
I heard that today, and I wanted to gag. You know, when he wanted to go, what was it? Was it a law that he wanted to pass, or was it an executive order? How was he going to do that so he could spy on all the phone calls? He couldn't quite get that through. So then he decided that everybody that left the country would have to have a passport. Now, for years and years and years and years, you could go to Mexico, you could go to the Caribbean, you could go to Canada.
Right.
Where else could you? There was a whole bunch of places that you didn't really need a U.S. passport.
Indiana?
Well, you could even go to Indiana and you
That's
could need
right.
a passport.
That's right. You could go to Indiana without a passport.
And now all of a sudden everybody's got to have a passport to get out of the country. And you know what I heard in the last couple of weeks that they've come up with this new passport thing?
Now what?
They've caught some of these people that are back on their child support.
Yeah. Which, as far as I'm concerned, is a damn good idea. But on the other hand...
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, they're doing this by virtue of a passport?
Whatever it takes. You know, let's face it, there's always two sides to every one of these custody stories, but I really do believe
the kids are the ones that hurt.
Very little mercy to the non-custodial parent that doesn't contribute child support. Oh, trust me on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then you heard about BP. I always call BP Amoco, you know.
Yeah, they're dumping mercury in your lake.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, right.
And my good governor gave him permission to do it.
Well, sure, he's Mitch Daniels, isn't he?
Was he a former budget for George W.?
Right.
Well, I heard that name before.
What's a little mercury in Lake Michigan? You know, so if you fish
guy. I drink
guy,
that water,
deal.
That son of a bitch. Oh, God. And if you don't like that, then, you know, you can borrow money on a subprime. Wasn't it his brother Neil that screwed up the savings and loan? And now we've got the whole damn mortgage company, a business,
right.
going down the drain.
Well, sure.
And this this is serious trouble because it's not just, you know, a couple of places. This is country. Oh, geez.
Isn't life a hoot right now, Marge?
Oh, I tell you.
This is better than a Saturday matinee with a tub of popcorn, isn't it? All right, listen, we're just about out of time. Now, you have to call more frequently than once every 8 or 9 weeks, or however long it's been, because, I get, like, volumes of emails asking me where you are, and I have to write back and say, I have no idea, unless the CIA has moved her to a new post, and she no longer calls the program. So, all right?
What do they call it?
Hidden identity?
Yeah, there's a name for that. What is that?
Clandestine?
No.
Secret? A spook?
When you witness protect, that's what I was going for. Witness protection.
Oh, it's kind of.
I don't know who the hell I'm going to testify against, but I'll think of something.
Two people sitting here with early Alzheimer's trying to think of something at witness protection. That's funny. All right, Marge, we'll talk again.
Behave yourself and stay cool, would you?
I'll do it. Thank you, Marge.
Take care.
All right, that was Marge from Indiana. Oh, I didn't say thanks to Ian Huff for engineering the program, Billy Foster, our chat room moderator, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Catherine Bay, who is our executive producer. Thank you for participating tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.